this is an ongoing journey. I'm going through that growth. You're going through that growth. So our hand is up when we're saying this stuff. Nobody's claiming that they're perfect. But as you're on that journey, you begin to heal. And when you heal, others around you heal.
If you're interested in how highly successful investors overcome limitations and become unstoppable forces of success, you're in the right place. The Conscious Investor Podcast features weekly conversations with real estate investing experts and delivers a Monday mindset episode to help launch your week with intention. If you believe success is for everyone willing to think, then do, these conversations will be your weekly rocket fuel.
Welcome back, Conscious Investors. I am always so grateful for you. If you are new to the show, we are excited to have you here on listening to The Conscious Investor because it's a great podcast. I have no doubt that you're going to absolutely enjoy it. So when you're done listening to it, would you please leave an honest, I didn't even say 5-star. I just said honest. Leave an honest rating and review so that we know feedback from you helps guide and direct the content of the show. And it also helps other people find the show, which is really, really important. And if you are listening and you've been listening for a while and you haven't already left an honest rating and review, why not? So please make sure you go over, drop down wherever you're at, and not all platforms. You can't do it on all. So maybe Apple Podcasts is ideal. Okay. I appreciate it. And people who find the podcast because conscious investors like you are intentional and leave ratings and reviews, they thank you in advance. Well, I'm going to jump into something for just a brief moment and say, this is a weird episode. This is a weird episode in the sense that I have never recorded a podcast episode inside my house. I'm actually sitting, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, and if you're listening and you're on the treadmill or driving in your car, you might want to just go pop onto the YouTube channel when you're in front of your computer screen, because I'm actually sitting at my kitchen table. Kids are back in school and we are blessed. We've had a bunch of housework done and my studio has a lot of odors in it from a stain on the exterior. And so I'm like, I can't be in there. So I decided I threw out my normal black shirt. I'm not matching my guest, which typically when I am in the presence of my guest, we typically end up in like some type of V-neck black t-shirt. It's just like standard protocol, unspoken.
It's a coach's uniform.
Coach's uniform. And so I'm wearing a white shirt. I'm in the middle of my house and I hope that you could take a chance to go over to YouTube. And when you do that, please make sure you just subscribe, show some love over there. Now, I've been hogging the show because I know that I'm going to be quiet. So I'm using as many words as I can because I'm going to be doing a lot of listening and you are going to do a lot of growing. I'm so thrilled to have a really good friend of mine who is also my high performance coach. I have been working with for 2.5 years and I would not be where I am today if I had not been doing all this work with my friend and coach, Faisal. So Faisal, you know how grateful I am for the role you've played in my life, but I just want to say thank you. I live a different life today because I've been working with you and I've been willing to do the work. So I just want to say thank you for the gift that you've given me and thank you for joining us on the show.
You're welcome. And thank you for being on this journey with me. And just like you, I've grown with you. And that's why I think a huge part of we can call each other friends and colleagues is because we've both grown. To me, that's incredible because as you watch like relationships grow, we start to kind of work together. And that's like the most exciting part for me is that, holy shoot, we can move things forward. We can serve. We can create cool things.
It's super cool. Actually, so we do create a bunch of really cool things together. And if you're not already part of the Space Creators coaching community, you might want to reach out to us and see if that's a good fit for you and for us. You never, ever know. But it has and to be mutual.
The name might change, but either reach out to Julie or I.
Reach out to one of us. Wow.
Our names will be the same.
Space Creators maybe change. So much about life, like so much adaptability and flexibility. It's amazing. And I love it. And we have something really cool coming up. Before we dive into some really interesting discussion around the economy and fear and opportunity, we have something really cool coming up. And I haven't seen you since January of 2020. And I'm going to going to get to see you in person in just like a couple of weeks after this episode goes live. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Pay It Forward.
Yeah, let's do it. I think this is going to be a very unique experience for many reasons. On the front end, it looks like a multifamily investors conference or mastermind, but there's a lot of work that has happened behind it that makes it incredibly unique. For one thing, just the group of people who are making it happen. So it's not one person on stage telling you what to do. It's actually a group of collaborators who've learned on their path how to grow within their business, within their path. And we're sharing experiences, we're sharing tools, we're sharing perspective, but we're also getting you engaged. Because one of the biggest things we've learned as investors, as coaches, is that much of our growth came in these kind of environments when we were around the right people who were vulnerably and openly sharing their growth path, who were sharing their challenges, who were sharing their wins, not just, hey, look at me, I created this thing. Because it's not as simple as that. And on top of that, much of the focus on this mastermind is around collaborative approach. How can we build the right team? How can we support each other to move ahead? And then the tools and the processes, the perspectives that we share is around that. Plus the amazing information, the amazing speakers, the amazing people are going to come together who will support you to move ahead. But it's going to be incredibly different. It's much smaller than the bigger multifamily event. So you'll have a chance to connect, grow, connect, make the right connections, to build the right team, to collaborate with the right people. And just because of the people who are kind of collaborating to create this, I feel like this is going to be incredibly magical because we're attracting a certain type of energy. We're attracting certain types of people. In the sense that they're open to these kind of collaborations, they're open to growth, they're open to taking their life and business to the next level in that way. That would be my take on it.
I think that was articulated so well. So here's the thing, October 6, 7, 8 in Denver, Colorado, one of my favorite cities, a bunch of my favorite humans are going to be in the same space. The space is limited. There's enough space for 100 participants. And that's something else that really differentiates this conference from other conferences. It's not about having sizable, substantial group of people together. It's about really attracting people that are very like-minded. And one thing that is really interesting, there's no stage. So we're all there as equals, roundtable style. And I think that that's really a fascinating element to this conference specifically, just a level of intentionality. So you can imagine the conscious investor will be there and so many others who share that same philosophy and mindset and perspective will be there as well. So I'd highly recommend you check it out. So you can go online. There will be a link in the show notes. There is a code. I'm going to have to find a code, but there is a code I have for $100 off and I will make
sure. That would be my name or yours. I don't know.
I think my code is conscious investor. I think that's my code. You can use Faisal. Go ahead.
It's just Faisal. If they use my name is Faisal or if yours is, you can probably put that code. And by the way, for those who are watching this after or listening to this after, even if you've missed this, reach out to us because more than likely we're doing another one next time around. But also we have an online component of this where we can support you as you're going on this journey. And we bring the same energy on the online side as in person as well. So definitely reach out to us. You can reach out to Julie or I or any of the collaborators on that team.
Love it. All right. Let's talk about the blood in the streets. Let's talk about the fear in the world. Let's talk about the boogeyman. Let's talk about the monsters in the closet. Because right now, you and I and everyone listening, you can't get away from the energy and the news. And well, actually, I insulate myself really well. But there's just people that are so concerned about what's going to happen with the economy and there's that depth of uncertainty and they're just really concerned. And that was really going to be the backbone of this conversation is really like, let's talk about fear and let's talk about opportunity so that we can support you. So if you're listening and you are feeling caught between these worlds, this is for you. You are going to feel so much lighter at the end of this because I'm handing it over to Faisal.
What? I got to do this?
Yeah, you're going to do this. You're flying solo now. Okay. You reached out to me. You're like, let's create this. Let's support the investors that are out there who are feeling these feelings. And I love that. So what are you noticing?
So, I mean, often when these things happen, so even in the beginning of pandemic, like there was fear, right? Mm. So Interestingly, the coaching business took off, at least for me. But generally speaking, I know because there was so much fear around the stuff, because people didn't know how to manage it. Holy shoot, pandemic came in. What is going to happen to my investments? These were the thought process from some of the most successful syndicators and investors that I had met. And they started reaching out to me like, I don't know what to do here. And they were shrinking back. And same thing again, like 2 years later, now we're in the middle of possible a potential recession, market crash, or maybe it's happened. We don't know at this point. And inflation going skyrocket with people kind of at this point holding on to everything or selling everything because they're scared. It creates a lot of instability. And then who gets a hold of all this? The news! Because that's how they make money. And they grab attention. They very well through fear. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be Trump. It could be pandemic. It could be the war in Ukraine. It could be the next crisis. They will hold on to that. And that's just the nature of the beast. Now, the important thing is, how are you responding? Because it's not like a lot of times, fine, watching the news, I'm overwhelmed, I'm inundated. But when I go off, I'm in my own world. I can do some of my stuff, even though I'm inundated by that. But then now you're coming across other people, your family, your friends, other investors who are telling you all sorts of stuff. And I want to share a story around this. This happened in the coaching world, but it can easily happen in the investing world too. And there's this, I won't mention names because it's a very prominent person, but this trainer for coaches. All right. So I'm going to share a story around an influencer that I know. I won't mention her name, but she's a prominent trainer for coaches, for other influencers. And one of the things that I know this kind of firsthand that she shared with her clients, and this was around the beginning of the pandemic, was that the coaching world is declining. We're not getting a lot of clients either. And if you're not getting anybody, don't worry about it. It's that time of the year. Now, here's a problem with that statement. She was describing her reality and her company's subjective reality. When you actually step out, and this is something Brendon Burchard shared with us a while ago, when somebody had this concern that, oh my, like my business is not working. I can't get clients. It's too expensive, or there are not enough clients. Like, and he asked the question, are you talking about your subjective reality or are you talking about the market reality? Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. And the market reality at the time, especially at the beginning of pandemic, was that people who are very well off were freaking out. And they didn't know how to think about it because they didn't know how to deal with their emotions. They didn't know how to develop clarity. They didn't know how to be less reactive. They didn't know how to deal with their teams. And so a lot of the different modalities of coaches, especially coaches, were good. They were getting a lot of clients. But then you hear now this influencer is influencing hundreds of coaches. Now they're sitting there. They're waiting for the pandemic to go away, even though the market is completely hot. That same exact thing can easily happen in the multifamily world. And it probably happens.
Mm-hmm. It is happening. Just raising capital, bringing in investors into investment opportunities and being around people who do that as well. It's very, very obvious that I have one investor. I think I'm going to pass on this investment. It's such a good investment. Oh my gosh. It's fantastic, stable, solid home run deal. And he's like, I think we want to maintain that level of liquidity. That is happening.
And now the question, is that a logical process? Is that a strategic process? Is that a long-term process? Or is that an emotional process? If you actually study human beings a little bit, we will find out very quickly in very practical ways that we are all very emotional in nature. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a negative thing, but being aware of it can do a lot, which means that we primarily react based on our emotions. It could be quote unquote negative emotions like fear, anger, frustration, anxiety. It could be positive. The things that we consider positive emotions, but they're all emotions. It could be peace, joy, connection, happiness. It could be excitement, those kind of things. Now, here's the tricky part. You cannot separate thinking from emotions. No matter how much you think logical you are, no matter how, unless you're a robot, that's just your baseline is that. The difference is that, and like I divide those in two categories, we talked about the negative emotions. I put them in most people recognize that are negative emotions. I consider them survival emotions.
Yeah.
Those emotions help us protect ourselves and our family and other people around us, which means that if we sense danger around us initially, I mean, in the past, it used to be physical danger. If there was an animal coming towards you or a bus coming towards you, then your body there'll be chemical reactions happening. Your body goes into this state where a lot of your energy goes from your gut, to your limbs, to your major muscle groups so you can defend yourself and your family. The problem is that's not happening. Now we live in the mental world of finance and stocks and investments and corporations. All these are ideas and concepts, has nothing to do with the physical world. I mean, it has some relationship to the physical world, but if your investments go away, doesn't necessarily mean your family will die. It's rare if that ever happens, right? But our body reacts in that way. Our system reacts in that way. So we react in fear. We react in anxiety. We react. So what happens? When we react in those states, that first of all sends all sorts of alarms. So we go into contraction mode. We're like, let me hold on to everything. We go into contraction mode, and which means that it has a very specific effect on our brain, that we're accessing more of the hindbrain, more of the limbic system. It means that we're only looking at things, noticing things to protect ourselves from. We're only noticing, guess what? Negative things, things that could hurt us, things that are going wrong in the economy, with people, with gas prices, that prices, the inflation. But what we're not noticing is opportunities. And guess what? These are the times that bring a huge amount of opportunity as well. Because what happens? Everybody freaks out. Everything goes on sale. From baseball cards to the household stuff, to cars, to properties. Everything is on sale. And people, and here's how cool it is. People who understand this, they plan for this decades out. Because they know that this cycle is going to come. That's when they make a big chunk of their cash, their legacy.
So true. I want to go back to the negative brain. There is a study that I want to go back. No, this is really interesting. I think you'll find this interesting.
Okay.
I was listening to a podcast and this was one of the examples. And so I could go back and find the study if anyone wants me to, I'll find it. The study was this, these researchers were testing how our brain works and they were testing the negative brain. In that process. And so what they did was they had this big pharma medical, like some type of medication that people could take. And when they presented it to one group, they said, wow, this has a 70% chance of making you better. And they presented it in a very positive way. Would you be interested in it? And of course, everybody's interested. It's going to be a 70% chance of curing whatever. This is great. Then to the other group, you can imagine what they did. I'll let everybody fill in the gap. If it was 70% positive, it's going to be 30% negative over here with the other group. So it's a 30% chance that this is going to have some negative outcomes. And so those people
freak out.
No, we don't want anything to do with it. Then they went back. This is where it gets interesting. They went back to the positive group and they reversed it. And they said, this does have a 30% chance of causing da, da, da. Do you still want it? Oh no, completely changed. They actually changed their mind and defaulted to the negative, even though they were sold out 70% positive. They went back to the other group who was the 30% negative. And they said, hey, there's a 70% chance that this will have a positive outcome. So, right, positive group, the people who got the positive news first, they flipped the switch as soon as they got the negative news. You would think, okay, well, the negative group, they're going to get this 70% positive news and they're going to flip the switch, but they didn't. And so one of the findings that they were trying to point out in this study was that negative thinking, that negative survival brain. And I don't want to necessarily make the survival brain the bad guy here because it is helpful. However, we have to keep that in check because even if something positive comes along, if we're still latched onto that negative mindset and thinking, we'll miss out on all the opportunities.
Yeah. And that's the perfect, and I love that because now the other side of the spectrum of our emotions and deal with what we call the positive state, but I call it the growth side. The emotions that expand us. And these are the emotions of excitement, of connection, of love, of joy, of peace. These kind of emotions are much more sustainable, which means this. So for example, if I were to put it in a context, like if you were living in a forest, like people have weird perceptions of how people used to live. If you take a look at an average human tribe or family, like the perception might be that they were always in danger or even general animals right now. That's not the case though. Like on average, they might face like danger from a predator once a year or twice a year, right? In those moments, those survival emotions kick in, they protect their family, they protect themselves, and they take care of themselves, they move forward. But for the most part, they were actually in quite a good state. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of contradicts sometimes, because as people look at the recent history, when there were a lot of diseases and everything else came into the picture. But that was when people were converging, as you put more and more people together and you don't have the system to support that, it's going to bring a lot of disease, it's going to bring a lot of problems. We're talking about like when humans were more hunter-gatherers or in small mm-hmm. communities they were living, they had mm-hmm. very few problems. Their biggest problem were maybe drought and famine and those kind of things. But especially if they lived in a more abundant area, they were able to manage. Or even people like living in desert areas where there's no water, they found creative ways of dealing with it. But essentially, they didn't have to deal too much with that side. For the most part, we lived with the more positive spectrum. And those are the sides of us that facilitate growth, that facilitate creation, that facilitate creativity, that facilitate connection with each other, that facilitate mm-hmm. community and all that stuff, right? And essentially, when you look at business, I look at entrepreneurship as an art. It has a science part to it, but it's an art of creation. You're creating things. That requires your conscious mind, not your hindbrain for the most part. That requires you to be open. That requires you to be very creative. That requires you to be very curious. That requires you to notice opportunities. And that requires you to be patient, to be more aware, less reactive. And that, when you watch even people who are very reactive entrepreneurs, they have this interesting thing about them. They will be reactive for a moment, but they have this beautiful ability to get out of it faster. They will freak out and then they have somehow developed this ability because they've gone through it so many times. They're like, oh, okay, I'll deal with this. Let's pivot.
It's absolutely imperative to be able to do that. I mean, as an entrepreneur, that really is the frontier, the jungle. It's the westward expansion, if you will, where if you don't pivot, if you don't make that move, you might lose your business. It might not work out if you stay in that reaction mode. Something you said about it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable to stay in those negative emotions. And I think that's really worth elaborating, because really when I look at just what's taking place in the US since 2020, it has been sustained pressure between a pandemic and who knows about monkeypox and the economy, and you've got political unrest, some different things taking place. It's this constant pressure that's put on people to where I feel like everybody just needs a breather and a break. When we're stuck in that zone, we don't have the energy to be creative. So yes. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. And that, again, I like going towards the technical part of our biology operates in those moments, because especially if it's some, like, if you look at when we're talking about emotions, we're talking about the energy that our body feels. The labels are the labels that we've given it, but you feel it somewhere in your body, right? When you feel anxiety, you feel it somewhere in your pit, like in your core. If you feel like you can't speak something, you feel it in your throat. These are energies. These are constriction points. Now, physiologically, in the words of Dr. Bruce Lipton, he will say that when, let's say, when we're in a fight, freeze, flight response state, which is the fear response that we have, which is natural to every, like at least mammalian life and with many other life forms, animal life forms, is that when we go into that state, we're taking a huge chunk of our core energy from our gut and we're spreading it into our major muscle groups to physically protect ourselves. Now, that's a huge expenditure, because now think about it. If there's a tiger running towards you, your body does not give a crap that you're being kind to your child or you need to be careful about scrapes and cuts. It will do anything to get the hell out of there, because if the body doesn't exist, then there's no point of child surviving with trauma or whatever else. It doesn't matter. You will throw your child out of the way. You will jump off a cliff. You will do all sorts of stuff to get out of danger, or you will fight the danger. And that means that it's an immense level of energy needed. And that's why people do incredible things when they're in those states physically. They can lift heavy things. They can deal with a lot of things. And they don't even realize, because they get possessed, because that part of it is incredibly fast. We've kind of evolved to react to those things because we've had to protect ourselves from predators.
Yeah.
All sorts of predators. Now, like, human beings haven't been at the top of the food chain for that long. We were like hiding in little corners, trying to protect ourselves. until we developed better technology, better ways of dealing with those things. And then slowly the progress came. That's what we understand so far, at least. So if it takes that much energy, and this is what Dr. Bruce Lipton says, now imagine people who are constantly dealing with anxiety, stress, another name for stress is fear. They're dealing with overwhelm. These are all names for that fear response and at varying levels. So now imagine visually the tiger's distance from you. If you have light stress, you can see the tiger on the other side of the cliff.
Okay, you're cool. You're over there.
Yeah, I see it. But I can, as the tiger starts to get closer, you get start to get more anxiety. Think about it. Now, when the pandemic hit, full-blown survival, everybody was going crazy over toilet papers. Right. Out of everything, right? These are our responses to protect ourselves. So that's why that energy is not sustainable, because it's a short burst of energy to get you out of danger, and then you go into your normal state. And Dr. Bruce Lipton calls it, I love his analogies, is that imagine for most people in the Western world, there's a tiger always chasing you. And a huge chunk of their emotional energy, mental energy is going towards, and they don't even realize. Now that same energy can be used for what? Creativity, for collaboration, for connection, for building things, for building products, services, or whatever else you're doing on your in your or living a peaceful life. And it becomes a tragedy when you know it that most people, like I can pretty much assume for most people, they're using about 20% of their energy. It's a very safe bet.
Mm-hmm. So someone's listening to this, these amazing conscious investors, and this is resonating, and they're just thinking, yeah, I'm caught in that cycle. I don't want to be caught in it anymore. I'd rather use my energy for creativity and collaboration. I'd rather use my energy and have peace in my life versus this constant stress weighing me down. Now what?
Now, so I'm going to throw that back to you because you've been on that journey. How did you develop that peace more?
Thanks for throwing it. I like it. I've done that before on podcasts myself. I've just thrown it back. You know what? That's a sign when people are really friends, when they can throw it back and forth. You know, I love it. I have done, and you know, my faith is central to my life, but faith without action isn't really faith, right? And so whatever your belief system is, if you're not taking steps forward. So for me, that's great. I have my faith. That's the core part of my life. And I'm taking action to grow. I'm taking action forward in my contribution. So instead of what I call like feeding the negative part of my life and nurturing that and cultivating it, I've been working with you and I've been really leaning into my vision and seeing what is the greater purpose and meaning of my life. What do I believe that is? And who do I want to be? And allowing that to be the focal point versus my fear and my anxiety. And so as I've leaned into that and taken steps, courage is rewarded. It's been good because just like things can go south and things can be have a negative outcome, that really doesn't usually happen. We might get feedback that it's like, oh, bummer. I thought that podcast episode was really going to land well with people and support people. Maybe it didn't. That's not the end of the world. That's not a bad outcome. That's feedback. So shifting those perspectives into these more honestly realistic perspectives to say these things are serving me well and I get to recalibrate along the way as I'm growing into this vision that I see for my life.
I love that. And so one side is that you're describing that your focus has been on those themes of vision, of your purpose, of your contribution, mm-hmm. of your faith. And these are all themes around the conscious part of our mind. Mm-hmm. They're not the reactive part. Because when we're talking about faith, we're talking about vision, we're talking about creativity, we're talking about an ideal version of us. When we're talking about contribution, and we're talking about like this, people haven't read this book by Dr. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. Definitely read it because he shows that even in the worst of circumstances, we can find meaning and purpose. In fact, he created a form of therapy, logotherapy, that helps you connect to these bigger themes.
And he was in a concentration camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He describes his experience, but his experience was interesting because he does it from a point of view of alpha psychotherapist, from a point of view of somebody who understands the human psychology and living through it as well. And he found that there you can find joy in the worst of circumstances. You can find purpose. You can find friendship. You can find love. in the worst of circumstances. And that's the extreme of humans' context, mm-hmm. let alone where we live, which might seem extreme, but it's not extreme as that. So if that's possible, why not here? And then the other side of it is, I know you've had to go through some healing too, right, Julie? What was the processing
definitely.
Part? What was that?
It's interesting. You and I were talking off air before you hit record. We were talking about my initial sessions and you're like, you should go look at your initial session sometime. And I'm going to have to. And one of the things that I know about that was they had central focuses on my son, central focuses on family relationships and things like that. But ultimately, I needed to not just, it's an identity shift and growth. And an understanding in that healing you're talking about was something that caught me off guard, completely caught me off guard. And that was going back to my childhood. And honestly, I don't know if you remember this, but I mean, I was like, what's this whole like childhood stuff? What's this go back to my childhood? I have to heal my inner child. Like that just seemed so far-fetched, outlandish. However, I trusted. I trusted your guidance. I trust because you had a track record of really supporting me. And so it's like, okay, everything we've done has been powerful. I'm going to trust this process. And in doing so, really seeing things from a different perspective and healing was significantly powerful.
And I love that. And I want to honor you because that part, I think, like the creative part and the let me create this vision and all that stuff, as amazing as that is. So the action part takes courage, but the sitting and working through it is actually fairly fun for a lot of people. But the actual work is that healing and the depth and let me deal with this thing. And usually for human beings, you describe relationships. Those things shows up more in our relationships than anywhere else. And that's much more closer to home than you think. It starts with our relationship with ourselves. And that inner child that you described, and then relationship with our kids, with our spouse, with our extended family, parents, siblings, it always goes back to that. And unless the healing happens there, then what you're doing is now you're retraining your system. The peace is there because that, like I always give the analogy of an ocean that like our consciousness is a depth is deep as an ocean, the depth of an ocean, but we're usually living on the surface turbulent waves. And we don't know how to dive deep. And our whole identity is around that up and down of emotions, which is actually fairly normal for human beings because we're supposed to live the whole spectrum. But because we don't know how to go to the depth, which means how to process the emotions, which means how to create a better meaning around it, which means how to react to our loved ones. And obviously, this is an ongoing journey. I'm going through that growth. You're going through that growth. So our hand is up when we're saying this stuff. Nobody's claiming that they're perfect. But as you're on that journey, you begin to heal. And when you heal, others around you heal.
It's very true. As I mentioned, I'm even seeing it in my son. And it's amazing to see just him flourishing. It's really exciting. And I need to interject this thought is that these are conscious investors that are listening. We are very deep people. We are very deep thinkers. Now, I'm saying that in a little bit of a condescending way. I love you, conscious investors. You know that. But I used to think, and probably you could probably recount this, that I mean, I'm a pretty deep person. I've always been a pretty deep thinker. But you took me to, I had those walls and I compartmentalized and everything was kind of what was neat and tidy. And it's like, I could go to certain depths and then it was like, oh no, we're not even going to go there. I mean, I can be vulnerable and deep and it makes, and it's deeper than the average person, but you hit this part, nobody's going beyond there. And you were able to take me into those spaces where there was pain. There shouldn't be those vaults in our life and those sealed off corridors. We want access to our full life, not just parts of our life.
Yeah. And what you're in, this is the process of, I think, enlightenment. And this is why somebody like Dr. Jordan Peterson might say that if enlightenment was easy, everybody would do it, or anybody in history, because we've been given this idea of enlightenment that's all about daisies and fields and meadows. And yeah, that comes afterwards.
Right.
But for that, you got to go to the dark pit, face the dragon, and the dragon lives within you. And it's scary and you don't want to face it. And there's fire. And why do we think our symbols for these things are in movies and books and mythology? Because this is our journey, is that our healing happens by facing our truth, by facing our pain. And here's the problem. Most of us, we've kind of put our own plateaued at some level. And we've created boundaries that we don't see ourselves. We think that we've gone deep, but we don't. We all have those boundaries. And like, in fact, Carl Jung, one of my favorite psychologists, he had a sense of humor, but he would say is like, he valued honesty a lot, honesty with yourself. Mm-hmm. But he's like, at some point, he'll be like, all of us will be like, oh, screw this. This is too much. This is way too much. I'll take a break from all this. And he knew that in his clients, like there's a human thing about it. But then that's why you need a guide. That's why in every human tradition, we have names like gurus, but spiritual guides have been coaches, have been whatever form it has taken. It's been that somebody else can see, enter your world and see things that you can't see anymore because your mind has convinced you that they're not there. Mm-hmm. But I can clearly see the boundary because I'm not attached to your pain. Mind you, it's actually fairly difficult because some of the dark, deep places I've gone with you, Julie, has kind of taken, put me on edge.
I think that's one of the most fascinating elements of the coaching process is that it is a shared process. Yeah. And it's incredible how the paths can be very similar or the healing that's necessary can be so similar between a coach and a client.
It's a common journey. It's not, no, I'm not telling anybody what to do or you're not telling anybody what to do. It's you're literally taking their hand and jumping in that dark pit with mm-hmm. them. And that can be scary for both sides. Obviously most scary for the person who has a dark pit, but even as a coach at some point, you're like, shit, because our experiences are very common, especially if you're similar. You and I are actually very similar. Some of those experiences you've had, I'm walking you through it, but I'm walking myself through it. And I'm like, oh shit, can't stop now. Mm-hmm. And so it's painful. It can be painful. Now, and what does this mean for investors, for conscious investors? And ultimately, like you can create a business without even thinking about any of this. Like you can create wealth, you can create prosperity on the external world. You can create all the things. Why? Because like as human beings, we can compartmentalize things. That's the beauty of our conscious mind. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The quality of life that you're seeking, which means that I'm guessing that those experiences that you want for yourself, for your family, for your community, for the adventures that you want, you ideally want to be happy there. You ideally want to be at peace. You ideally want to feel connected to the people around you. You want to feel a sense of purpose. You want to contribute. So just like you're building that outer design of your life by investing in all these things and creating a strategic approach, guess what? There's a whole inner world that is not going to be explored just from books and podcasts. It requires you to dive deeper. Again, that's a personal choice. Not everybody is ready to grow, but I feel like many of that, like this is why I love working with multifamily investors because many of them are. They've come to a point where they've gone through the traditional life of what they were told to do. And they've come to the point in their 40s, 50s, or even 60s, where they look at their life, they've built a lot of the things that they were told about, built the house, the car, the investment portfolio, this, that, the future security, and they're building towards that stuff. And they feel fairly confident. But here's the thing, they sit there and they look at their lives. This is it. I'm going to keep doing this for the next 20 years. Uh-huh. And they can't say it out loud either because I should be grateful. Why am I not grateful? But there's something missing. It's a huge part missing. It's the whole inner world missing because they both work together for you to create a life that's fulfilling, that's purposeful. And we've had the recipe for a while as human beings, but now it's coming in the mainstream. Like these things were only available to a very select group of people in history, only parts of initiated societies that would go through processes like that. Now it's in the mainstream.
Now anyone can has access to it. I think there's an interesting observation about so many multifamily investors. And I think it's very accurate that they have gone through a process. They have been successful, but there is that, is this it? And they discover that multifamily syndication process and it's like, oh, whoa, here's something more. And it's just that pursuit of, I know there's more in life. I want more in life. And as we wrap up, that's a great way to say, so what next? Conscious investors are listening and they're like, okay, I see this. This resonates with me. I don't want to be afraid. I want to find opportunity. I want to unpack the opportunity to lead what I like to call the next level life. Like I want to go through transformation. I don't want to stay stagnant. I want true peace in my life. And I want to really lean into my purpose and contribution.
And that's, I mean, the next step is what we've been trying to highlight, whether you reach out to Julie or I, or if somebody else that you trust on your path. Literally, like for me, just go to my website, faisalansam.com, book a short call. I just want to know that we're both on the same wavelength. So we'll have a short call. And then essentially what I do with my clients is offer them an experience of the coaching. Because most people don't know what coaching is. It's a fairly new field. It's been only known in the athlete world and the celebrity world for a long time. And now it's coming in more and more in the mainstream. And people have their own conception of what it is. So I always ask my clients, have you gone through it? And they will say, yeah, I've gone through it. I'm like, what did you do? Can you describe it? And usually it's not coaching.
Right.
So I walk them through it and then they get to experience what it is. And then they can make an informed choice of whether or not this is worth their investment, whether investment in terms of their commitment time and their resources for them to accelerate in their professional life and create the quality of life and the quality of purpose that they're seeking in their life. And I think Julie has, I won't speak for her. She can speak for her process. But generally speaking, that's the way. And I will give a word of caution here. So because coaching is not a regulated field, because anybody can pretty much call themselves a coach, they might have not gone through a process of getting feedback on what they're actually offering. There can be a huge range of what you might call coaching. And there are some foundational principles in there. And so getting coaching from anybody is probably not a good idea. And I know this because I train other coaches. I have a mastermind for coaches. And I literally today I spent 3 hours listening to coaching calls. And some of them I just wanted to, I was cringing. And I've cringed on my own calls too. So it's not just, but it's that because there is no standard process, anything can come in. And you might go through something and be like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want a clear taste of it, go towards somebody that you trust, somebody who has a proven track record, somebody who is going to serve you and ultimately test it out. And you will see it in that experience, whether or not it's worth your investment. And from what I can tell, it will pay you 100 times your investment.
Agreed. Agreed. I look at the life that I've created and it's like, there isn't a point where there isn't a correlation to the coaching that I've done with you and where I've been able to go with personal life, professional life, and relationships. It's just phenomenal.
Thank you.
So grateful.
And so grateful that you're out there now, you're serving others. And maybe you can share what your process is like so people can, maybe whoever feels aligned with you can book that call with you.
Yes, yes, yes. And they always hear it at the end of every episode. So I'm going to share that in just a moment. I'm going to give you all the information in my closeout like usual, but I'm going to let you give your contact information.
Yes. So, I mean, the main place you can find me is faisalansam.com. However, my name appears and then the show notes or in the screen of YouTube. It's .com and you just, there'll be a section on coaching. You can book a short intro call with me. And usually, so I don't offer any services unless I've gone through that call. Either you're on a group call with me or on a one-on-one call where I've seen whether or not we feel aligned, I can support you and we can go on this journey because it is not a short-term sprint and neither of us want to be miserable in the process. We do that essentially one to see whether or not you even qualify. Coaching is not for everybody. And second part is for you to see the experience of whether or not this adds the kind of value that you're looking for. So I'm not just giving you an offer blindly. And so at that point, then I can give you this. There are different variations of those services. And we actually have a multifamily community too. So there are so many aspects of it. So depending on what your needs are, you get to sign up for your needs at that moment, at that time. And because we have brought together some incredible people. Julie's part of our community of coaches, of investors, and there are other mentors on the investment end that we can support, who can support you on the multifamily part. And then there are coaches who can support you in terms of your personal growth, your relationships, your purpose, your legacy, and all the bigger, the internal themes that you're taking care of. So that would be, you can find me everywhere on social media, minus TikTok and Snapchat. Not there yet.
For now. For now.
For now.
I love it. Thank you so much, Faisal. I appreciate your time. I appreciate just being able to encourage and help people have, hopefully, conscious investors, you've had a shift in your perspective a bit and you've been uplifted. And, you know, sometimes we just need that nudge to say, I need to reach out for support. I need some more guidance on this. And that might be in your investing, or that might just be in your personal life, so that you can really lean into your vision and contribution. And so many people need to learn how to unpack that. They are not sure what that is. And so being guided through that process is really, really significant and powerful. Conscious investors, adventure belongs on the trail, not in your investing, not in your personal life, not in your financial life. We invest in our personal lives, we invest in our financial lives, and we just want to keep the adventure where it belongs, not in those areas. So remember, if you need support in either of those ways, head over to the website, threekeysinvestments.com, and you can book a call for either of those services. Book a call. Let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can support you and help you live the next level life. You guys are amazing, and I appreciate you listening. Until next time, live big, love bigger.
What's the big deal about investing in apartments? Why is it better than investing in a slew of single family homes? I've compiled a lot of information on why investing in a multifamily, also known as apartments, will help you reach your investment goals. Head over to threekeysinvestments.com and download the Why Invest in Multifamily guide today.